Thank you, Joel, I think. It's good to be with you here today. It's good to see each one of you here. It's always good to be here, to be in the house of the Lord. I want to start today by updating you on some of our missionary fields. The first one is the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And Brian and I had planned to travel there this year, but it is currently a level 4 travel advisory by the State Department, which is do not travel. And here are some of the comments on the State Department website. Now you've got to remember that we have members who live here. In all these places, we have members that live there. Do not travel to the Democratic Republic of the Congo due to armed conflict, crime, civil unrest, and terrorism. Violent crimes such as armed robbery, armed home invasion, kidnapping, murder, and assault is common. Assailants may pose as police or security agents. I know part of the problem right now over there is the rare earth minerals. I know that there was a rebel group that was trying to take over that and to take all those rare earth minerals. But there's always been conflicts there. I mean, we travel to the southern part of the Congo, and it's never safe to go to the northern part. But we go to a city called Lubumbashi, and it actually has a huge mine right in the center of town. I mean, their main thing they mine is copper and cobalt, which is not a rare earth mineral, but that is, we will not go there. We do not go to countries that have a do not travel advisory. The next one is Ethiopia, and Brian and I will be going there this Friday. And you know, for the last few years, we've been traveling there, but it's been unsafe to travel outside of the capital city of Addis Ababa. And what we've been doing is we've been going there and bringing in some of our members from the villages, and we've been holding services there in Addis Ababa. And this is because there's been rebel forces there who kidnap people, hold them for ransom, and you know, if the ransom's not paid, I guess you know the rest of the story. And what they are doing is they're trying to fund their conflict. But Kobar, our leader, tells us that it is now safe to travel outside of Addis Ababa to the villages that we are going to. So this year, or in this trip, for the first time in several years, we will travel to those villages and meet with our members. But it's kind of like, it's not as bad as Congo, but there's always conflicts there. And, you know, I mean, sometimes, I know we go out to the two-day drive out to some of our villages, and we used to take a shortcut coming back to Addis Ababa. And we didn't do it a couple times, and I asked Kobo, why don't we take that road anymore? And he said, it's not safe. Enough said. The State Department there has a level 3 advisory for Ethiopia, which is reconsider travel. It says reconsider travel to Ethiopia due to sporadic violent conflict, civil unrest, crime, communications disruptions, terrorism, and kidnapping in border areas. I know something that the communication disruptions is common. Probably every trip we go there, they shut down the internet for a certain amount of time. You never know when it's going to work and when it's not. So that's common all the time. But please remember us when we travel there. We would appreciate that. The next one is Dubai in the United Arab Emirates and Riyadh in Saudi Arabia. And Brian and I are planning a trip there in August to go to these two cities. And Dubai is just across the Persian Gulf from Iran. And we know that yesterday, the U.S. bombed 3 nuclear sites in Iran. And we will monitor the Middle East to see what happens between now and when we go there. There could be flight restrictions, who knows what. I know sometimes we've traveled to, I know one time we flew to India and there was a conflict there and we had to fly several hours farther to go around that country. And we know that the Ayatollah in Iran has proclaimed death to America and death to Israel. And we've heard a lot about what's going on over there, and where it'll go from here, only God knows. But there are a lot of conflicts around the world, and a lot of them impact our people. They are there, and they are living it. And these next few comments, they're from my sermon in Colorado, the Colorado Reunion. And this first thing is about the conflicts that occurred in the Bible in the Book of Mormon. And according to the internet, a biblical concordance lists over 400 references to war in the Bible, encompassing both military conflicts and interpersonal disputes. And these conflicts were caused because of greed, pride, envy, anger, hatred, lust, and the list goes on. And we know that some of these conflicts were ordained by God to destroy the wicked. And according to the internet, there were 15 major wars and 70 lesser conflicts in the Book of Mormon, which include the destruction of the Nephite people. So we see that what's going on in the world today is not uncommon, is it? It's been going on forever. Pretty much since the beginning of time. And we see that the world is no different today. Our nation is divided. The world is divided. There's conflict, turmoil, and wars in many places. Many places that we never hear about that have conflicts all the time. Good versus evil. Good opposing evil and evil opposing good. Now we know that there will only be peace on earth when Christ returns and the wicked are destroyed. And these comments also pertain to my sermon today. We often hear the statement that life is not fair. And that is a true statement. Life is not fair. But we know that God is just. And he will judge the righteous fairly. And he will also judge the wicked fairly. In Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. We know that our God is perfect in everything he does. A God of truth, which is somewhat hard to find in this world today. The word just in the Hebrew is Strong 662, and it means lawful. We know that everything that God does is lawful and right. He gave us the law, and he gave us his commandments. And unlike the world, God's judgment, his justice is perfect, impartial, and eternal. And we know that these two tie together, justice and judgment. We know that he will be fair. He will judge each one of us correctly, perfectly, which we couldn't even start to do. He knows our thoughts. He knows our inner workings. He knows the desires of our hearts. In Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." Not a respecter of persons. We know that God loves everyone. Even the ones that are committing all these atrocious crimes, he loves them all. He wants them all to spend eternity with him. And I know there's good people all over the world. And I think the Spirit is working in the lives of people around the world. And we have been blessed to be here, to be part of this church. We should feel very fortunate to have that. In Luke chapter 16, verses 13 through 15. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And this is such a true statement. You know, the scriptures tell us that we must choose who we will serve. And we have to choose one or the other. Everybody in the world has to choose one or the other. It's impossible to serve both. And I think a lot of people attempt to do that. They may go to church on Sunday and then the rest of the week they're doing something else. We're always going to end up with one or the other. Verse 14, and the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abominable in the sight of God. We know about the Pharisees. They were not a righteous people. They pretended to be. They did things in public to be seen of man. But their hearts were not right. Their hearts were not right. It says they're an abomination in the sight of God. They were not choosing the right master, were they? They were choosing the other one. In Mosiah chapter 8, verses 61 to 65. And behold, and fear, and tremble before God, for ye ought to tremble, for the Lord redeemeth none such that rebelleth against him and dieth in their sins. A warning to us, a warning to the world. Those that rebel against him, yea, even all those that have perished in their sins, even since the world began, that have willfully rebelled against God, and have known the commandments of God, and would not keep them, these are they which have no part in the first resurrection. Willfully rebelled. How many people in the world can we see today that are openly, willfully rebelling against God? Therefore, had ye not ought to tremble, for salvation cometh to none such, for the Lord hath redeemed none such. Yea, neither can the Lord redeem such, for he cannot deny himself, for he cannot deny justice when it hath his claim. For the righteous, it is justice that they will have eternal life. But we see the other side here of those that rebel against God, that they need to tremble, and the Lord cannot deny justice to them that willfully rebel. Let's look at verses 70 to 73. And now it came to pass that after Abinadi had spoken these words, he stretched forth his hand and said, the time shall come when all shall see the salvation of the Lord, when every nation, kindred, tongue, and peoples shall see eye to eye and shall confess before God that his judgments are just. And then shall the wicked be cast out, and they shall have cause to howl and weep and wail and gnash their teeth. And this because they would not hearken unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore the Lord redeemeth them not, for they are carnal and devilish, and the devil hath power over them. I think we can see this pretty clearly in the world today, how some of these horrible things that are happening and horrible things that are that people are doing in this world, that the devil hath power over them. It is plain, isn't it? It is clear that they are serving the devil. And they are not serving that Lord that will give them eternal life. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. And we see pretty clearly in this scripture God's judgment throughout time. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. It's always been amazing to me that the angels in heaven that were dwelling with God could rebel against him and become evil. And we know that God had to love them a great deal, didn't he? But they were cast down to hell because they turned away from him. Verse 5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah and the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. I don't know how many people were in the world at that time. But only eight were saved. Hard to imagine, isn't it, that there were only eight righteous people. But God's judgment was swift on them, wasn't he? And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. A wicked city, and the Lord destroyed it. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. It says the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. We know that Satan is always going to be tempting us, trying to lead us away. But God can deliver us if we come to Him, pray to Him, follow after Him. He will always be there for us to uplift us and strengthen us. Mosiah chapter 1, verses 79 to 84. And now I say unto you, my brethren, that after ye have known and have been taught all these things, if ye should transgress and go contrary to that which hath been spoken, that ye do withdraw yourselves from the Spirit of the Lord, that it may have no place in you to guide you in wisdom's paths, that ye may be blessed, prospered, and preserved. This is talking about us, isn't it? Those that have known and been taught all these things. We've been taught, haven't we? We know the truth of Jesus Christ. So He is warning us. I say unto you that the man that doeth this thing, the same cometh out in open rebellion against God. Therefore he listeth to obey the evil spirit and becometh an enemy to all righteousness. Therefore the Lord hath no place in him, for he dwelleth not in unholy temples. Therefore if that man repenteth not and remaineth and dieth an enemy to God, the demands of divine justice doth awaken his immortal soul to a lively sense of his own guilt, which doth cause him to shrink from the presence of the Lord, and doth fill the breast with guilt and pain and anguish, which is like an unquenchable fire, whose flames ascend up forever and ever. The demands of the divine justice. And we have to realize that when God has that pure love for everyone, it has to make Him sad, doesn't it? To pass judgment on to those that have turned away from Him. It says those that have openly rebelled against God, become an enemy of all righteousness, and repenteth not. We always need to remain strong and firm and steadfast. And the Lord will be there with us to bless us and strengthen us. First John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. We know there's a scripture that clearly says that all have sinned, and we know that to be true, the only one that didn't sin was Jesus Christ. And you know, I think that there are many people in this nation and around the world that are not confessing their sins. I think we can clearly see that. Instead, they are proclaiming that the evil they are doing is not sin, but it is good. We can see that everywhere around us. They are fulfilling Isaiah 5, verses 20 and 21. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent into their own sight. We can see some of these people that are committing these terrible sins. They are obviously wise in their own eyes. And the devil has led them away. And they are doing these evil things. We know what a lot of them are. Things in this nation we couldn't even imagine. Unthinkable things. And they are saying, this is good. And they are saying that us that oppose those things, we are bad. I think there was one, I don't know what it was, something, I mean, some people are proclaiming that the biggest danger to this nation is Christianity. That is the biggest danger. There's people that proclaim that. Basically, that God is the biggest danger to this nation. Not all the evil that's in it. John 12, verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. It is the word, isn't it? It is the word. We have it here in the Bible, in the Book of Mormon. It tells us what we are to do. It tells us what we're not to do. And how we follow it or don't follow it, it will judge us. And in the end, we will judge ourselves. We will have that knowledge of what we have done, whether it was good or evil. And we will know if it is good, that we will know we will have that eternal life. And we will know in our minds, those that are evil, that their judgment will be just. 1 Nephi, chapter 7, verses 34 through 37. For the time soon cometh that the fullness of the wrath of God shall be poured out upon all the children of men. For he will not suffer that the wicked shall destroy the righteous. Wherefore, he will preserve the righteous by his power, even if it so be that the fullness of his wrath must come. And the righteous be preserved, even unto the destruction of their enemies by fire. Wherefore, the righteous need not fear, for thus saith the prophet, they shall be saved, even if it so be by fire. The Lord will save us. If we are righteous, if we remain righteous, if we endure to the end. And we know that when Christ returns, that the wicked will be destroyed and the righteous will be saved. It is a promise that he has given unto us that we should have great hope in, that we should not fear the things of the world. And that may not always be easy for us. But that is what the Lord has told us to do, to not fear. And that he would be there to save the righteous. In Alma 19, verse 66, and it is requisite that the justice of God, that men should be judged according to their works. And if their works were good in this life, and the desires of their heart were good, that they should also, at the last day, be restored unto that which is good. We will be judged according to our works, whether they were good or whether they were evil. And I think this one little statement is so important. And the desires of their hearts were good. What is the desire of our heart? And even if the desire of our heart is good, we're still going to commit sin from time to time. The Lord has told us that. But if the desire of our heart is good, we are going to be so sorrowful that we did that. And we are going to be quick to repent. And the Lord will be quick to forgive us. It is very important that we have those good works and we have that desire to do good, to serve the Lord, to love Him, to love our fellow man, to want to please Him, to not want to make Him sad. Second Nephi chapter 6, verse 91. Prepare your souls for that glorious day when justice shall be administered unto the righteous, even the day of judgment, that ye may not shrink with awful fear. Prepare our souls for that glorious day. That's what we're doing here. That's why we're here tonight. That's the purpose of this life. To prepare our souls for that glorious day. When justice, we see God's justice, shall be administered unto the righteous. We know that there will be a day of judgment. In Acts chapter 17, verse 31. Because He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness, by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, and that He hath raised Him from the dead. This is clearly talking about Christ. He will be the one to judge the world. He will be the one to judge each one of us. And we know that His judgment will be fair. It will be a righteous judgment. We will be judged according to what we have done in this life. In Romans chapter 14, verses 11 and 12. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Give our account. We will have to give an account. And He's talking about everyone. Even those that are wicked will no longer be proud or arrogant. They will know that their judgment is just. Just as the righteous will know that when they have served the Lord, that He will give them that eternal life that He has promised. Because that is just. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We'll all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And what a wonderful, marvelous thing that will be for the righteous. To be before God to be before our God, Christ. What a marvelous thing that will be. And it will be so glorious for the righteous. I can't even imagine. I mean, I have felt the Holy Spirit in great abundance. I can't even imagine what it would feel like to be before our Lord. And to know that you had served Him all your life. And He had that promise of eternal life for you. God's judgment will be just for every man and woman since Adam and Eve. This last scripture. This is God's judgment for the righteous. Revelation chapter 21. Verses 1 through 5 and verse 23. And I read this scripture in my sermon at the Colorado Reunion. It will all be worth it to serve Him all of our days. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Can you imagine what that looks like? I don't think we can. We all might have something in mind, but I'm sure it will be more glorious than we can ever imagine. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." To be dwelling in the presence of God, it's hard to even imagine how glorious that will be. But verse 23, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." What can that possibly look like, that the glory of God did lighten it? What a wonderful place that must be. And that is the promise that God has for each one of us. The promise that He has for the world. This is what awaits for those that are righteous. Those that serve Him and follow after Him and have those good works in their lives. And we know that our Lord is faithful. We know that everything He has said, all of His promises will come true. It is my desire that each one of us will diligently serve the Lord until the end, that we may dwell together in that glorious city that the Lord has prepared. Thank you.